I don't want your lie. I don't want your life no more. Coming round here to my door. Time for a podcast instead. Gonna get ideas into your head. This is Puke and the Gang with Andrew. And Puke and Andrew too. Again, Brett. Also, these lyrics don't make no sense.
I thought I was Andrew too.
Yay. Episode 391.
Unnamed.
Truck is... Oh, I was gonna... Truck themed, or whiskey, or dogs. All of the above.
I love it.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. Hello. I don't...
Anything can still happen.
I did not have time to
happen. I'm sitting on a ball.
I'm sweating to death.
Brett's ball's on a ball.
Bouncy.
Welcome, everybody. This is the show. Go to pukeinthegang.com/VIP and sign up for as little as $5 a month and help us out. $5 a month. I mean, Jesus Christ. What can you get for $5 for an entire month of entertainment?
Nothing.
Yeah. Cancel your gym membership and then just cut it in half and pay us that much.
Yeah. Skip Disney Plus and Hulu Plus. And Vudu Plus and Netflix Plus, and just give all that money to us.
Speaking of
that,
we're
way more entertaining, and you can listen to us while you masturbate.
Where are you going to the gym for $10 a month? You said cancel your gym membership, cut it in half, and give it to us.
Yeah, I mean, if they're paying $35 a month, and they cut it in half, and they're paying $17.50 per month, and then they can give it to us.
Even better, if you go to a fancy Pilates place, and it's $65 a month, cut that in half, then give that to us. And then even better, if you go to a place that's $120 a month, cut that in half, and then give that to us.
Yeah, see, I'm making a win-win.
I love it when girls are like, I go to Pilates. I also eat bagels. I don't get it. I don't understand why I'm not in shape.
Don't you go to Pilates so you can do Kegels, not eat bagels?
Yeah, I guess that'd be part of it. Girls, do you know about Kegels? I thought Kegels were for men.
Can we start a hashtag, Kegels, not bagels?
For all people. Oh, yeah, that's a really good, that's just beneficial to the world.
Yeah.
Woman vagina exercise. Oh, I guess you just can just say vagina exercises. You don't need to say woman vagina exercises.
Yeah.
Vagina exercises for tighter vagina.
I don't know that it makes a tighter vagina. I just think it allows you to do tricks.
I don't know.
Kegel. Yeah, it's for men and women.
See?
Wait a minute. Men and women?
Yes.
I don't have a vaginal wall muscle.
No, I used to do this thing.
How does this work?
I don't know if
this were my prostate or something.
Before I understood what it was, I would do Kegels while like sitting in class at school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, explain.
Where I could like constrict muscles in a way where I'm like, oh, this seems very erotic and I'm not even touching anything. And I'm just sitting here looking across at what's-her-face bending over with her shirt drooping.
How many of us in the room are doing it right now?
Oh, I wasn't, but now I will.
I was thinking about it.
See, I can...
Right.
I'm sitting on a ball, so I worry if I clench my butt too tight, I might just suck it right up in there.
Right.
The whole big ball?
That's like...
I haven't done Kegels.
Ladies, when your dude gets hard, if he ever just stands there and flops his dick up and down without touching it, I think, you know, you can kind of do that. I don't know what muscle that is.
Yeah, it's kind of like, not quite like that. But
it was more of a butt muscle?
It might not even be the same thing. No, it's more like the in-between.
Taint.
Yeah, but like up inside.
Upper taint.
Like imagine you had a vagina and you were trying to squeeze it on a penis.
Going to the doctor
that's
now.
That's the muscle that you're trying to flex. And that's, I think, what the Kegels are for the ladies. So when they're doing, you know, when you're doing stuff and then all of a sudden it changes up and you're like, I don't even know what happened.
Changes.
That's a Kegel. When you're like, yeah, okay.
Do dogs have the strongest Kegel muscles?
I don't know.
Because, you know, dogs get their dicks stuck. And the female in the bitch.
No, that's a cat. Why would I know that?
That's cats.
No, cats have barbs on their dicks.
Which also gets them stuck.
Do they get stuck? I've heard that dogs will get stuck.
I never cared to learn about animal penises.
Don't watch the Nature Channel then when you're a child. You learn these things.
I thought you didn't have channels when you were a child.
I had PBS. That's how. The only thing I could watch was nature shows.
Welcome
like Nova.
Back to PBS. More dog dicks. Look at them get stuck.
That's not the right music.
I don't know what it would be.
Oh, but speaking of...
Dog dicks. They didn't sing. Oh, yeah. Maybe it was it a children's show?
Oh, yeah.
Dog dicks. Dog
cow gigs.
I thought that song was going to be a lot more educational than it turned out to be.
I mean, in a way, it was educational.
Just for the memory, you know, it helps you, the child, make a memory.
What are they trying to remember?
Dog dicks.
Nothing about them.
They get just stuck. That's verse two. Oh. That's verse two.
Oh, I just found the a slider out of place.
80s PBS show, Dog Dicks. the memories.
I have a
Red Rocket.
A question and thoughts and comments kind of on
that's a lot of things.
Historical things. But you know how, okay, whenever you hear somebody who's interested in news about the royal family, what do you think? Puke.
Oh, my God. Why?
Okay. Whenever you hear someone who's interested in the news about the Kardashians, what do you think? Puke.
Oh, my God. Why?
Okay. Brett, any thoughts that are different from pukes?
Yeah, I would just elaborate a little bit. If you're so into shit from 500 years ago, what if we put you in a guillotine, fuckface? What if we inject you with the bubonic plague? If you like royalty, cunt, dog dick.
Dog nipples.
Well, this is not going to bode well for me. I think I'm starting to understand these people.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm open-minded.
Are you interested in the Kardashians?
You totally flip-flopped. No.
I mean, I'm interested in the royal family in as much as I wish that I was a royal family and an inbred tard, but was rich as fuck.
I just mean more of like the high society and the interest around it. I'm not interested in the royal family. I'm not interested in the Kardashians or things of that nature.
I wouldn't imagine.
However, I think I started to understand why people are interested in it, and I can kind of sympathize with them. Maybe.
Okay. So, explain.
The Victorian era, the Gilded Age.
Very different.
There you go. Now that's appropriate for a change. What, Brett?
Well, go on. I'll hear you out.
Is it really
dog dicks
different?
Might be a little bit of overlap.
Dog dicks
between the two.
I was doing lyrics on the show.
Oh. I don't know. I went to this museum called the Frick in Pittsburgh, and this was a house of Henry Clay Frick. He also has a giant house in New York and other stuff. Anyway, he was of Pittsburgh's industrial age, turn of the century, late 1800s, and they took a house and kind of built a house around it. Mm-hmm. They made it super fancy.
They built a house around the house?
I highly recommend anybody go there who's in the Pittsburgh area, which is like three of you and two of you are here. but I really enjoy these old mansion tours.
Okay.
Like,
sure.
We've all been to, what's the Falling Water? Falling Waters? Falling Water.
I think it's, singular.
We've all been to Falling Water. Did we enjoy that?
Oh, yeah.
I certainly enjoyed it. Brett?
I loved it.
Okay. Now, what did you like more? The building itself or the story of the Kaufman family? Kaufman family was the family who had Falling Water built. Frank Lloyd Wright didn't pay attention to budgets and went nuts. And then there was a lot of drama and story and charity and all this stuff over the 20th century that involved Falling Water and the Kaufman family.
Right. I liked it all. I thought the house was an architectural marvel. And I thought the story was interesting, too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've heard about, as an art student, I've heard about Falling Water for my whole whatever many years I've been doing artsy stuff. And to get to see it was pretty cool. You know, it's kind of like one of those buildings, like going to see Notre Dame or the Louvre.
I don't know that something I would put it in that same category.
Right. I guess it's not the spectacle that Notre Dame would be.
Right. Because
that's a crazy, gigantic, ancient church.
Like,
but,
Falling Water is cool and unique and all that, but I don't think it's spectacular.
Right.
Like, I see these old Victorian mansions, and those are spectacular. Like, the detail and the craftsmanship, as opposed to, here's a big slab of concrete framed up with some metal.
Yeah.
Not as excited about that. I still liked it. I still really enjoyed it. But I just, something about that style doesn't appeal to me as much as Victorian style.
It's two different types of architectural pursuit. Man, sitting on a ball, I don't know. This is going to be the whole show for me.
Yeah, I'm starting to get worried. I got to chase your levels with the microphone because you're not talking directly into
it. I might be deflating the ball, too.
Oh, dear.
So, You mean two different styles of architecture?
No, two different, well, obviously two different styles of architecture, but two different architectural pursuits. Like, you know, Victorian houses were a standard. There was a set of conventions that you followed to build them. And yes, they were very intricate. They had a lot of interior and exterior detail work. But Frank Lloyd Wright was trying to do something that was more like a feat. So the two are not really comparable. There's only one Falling Water. There's, gosh.
But there's many Frank Lloyd Wright homes, and certainly even more Frank Lloyd Wright-inspired homes.
Okay.
So it is a style that one man is kind of responsible-ish for, especially around here.
Not, but still, Falling Water was just Falling Water. There was nothing like it before.
But, I mean, you could say that about Victorian homes, too. But the point is...
But there's thousands, if not millions, of them in the
world. Yes. Oh, at least there were millions. But in Pittsburgh, there was an area called Millionaire's Row.
Ooh.
Back in the turn of the century, and it was a bunch of
what was that area about?
Victorian estates, mostly industrialists in the steel and early energy industries.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far from Carnegie Mellon, abutting parks and whatnot. So, there's one remaining house in Millionaire's Row, and that is the Frick.
Really? What happened to all the other houses? Did they burn down or something?
No, they just were too expensive to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
So the Frick still exists, and I went through, and I absolutely loved it.
They got gentrified?
I went on a little standard museum tour. They change the tour up occasionally. But I went on a tour, and it was small, four people, nice, intimate. It was me and the person I was with, and then two people, a woman and her mother.
Okay.
And they seemed fine, and I thought, oh, how nice. They're interested in this old historic house, too, and the industrialist who, you know, built it or had it modified and what have you.
One would gather that, them being on a tour.
Within 5 minutes, I went, ugh, these seem like the people that I grew up around, the butler people.
Are they related to bustler people at all?
No. These people tend to live in trailers, not in trailer parks, just standalone trailers.
White trash.
That's a sophisticated.
Yeah.
Standalone.
They definitely have owned multiple Pontiac Sunfires and Chevy Cavaliers back in the day, but they started to annoy me, and I thought,
why would you need both? They're pretty much the same.
Yeah, well, because one dies. Like, every 6 months, you got to trade for another one.
Yeah.
They're basically free cars, and they were built an hour away from Butler, so they were just everywhere.
Mm.
And there was some sort of nationalistic pride in that car, too, which one was real gross, because it was, like, the worst car.
Had a Buick LeSabre, and they were sort of the cock of the walk.
Oh, yeah. Or a Buick Somerset, if you go back far enough.
Mm.
My friend Jared had one of those.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
I'm going back to, like, 1990, when you probably first started to become aware of butler people. And driving.
Yeah. But I felt bad for judging these people. I went, oh, that's mean of me. They're, you know, who am I to have less of a good time because these people are trying to enjoy themselves? Well, within five more minutes... They didn't pay attention to any of these details. I'm asking questions. I'm pointing things out. The tour guide is congratulating me for noticing all these details. I really enjoyed that.
That makes you feel good, huh?
But these butler people, they, like, the tour guide's going, oh, and this piece of artwork was the wife's depiction of one of the daughters or whatever. And then they just start pointing out photos and artwork and going, oh, is that little Helen? Is that? And I go, who the fuck cares? Like, there's architectural masterpieces all around us in this room.
Okay.
And you're worried about this shitty old photo? And you want to hear a story about this photo? And they're wasting all the time on these stupid photos and stories of the children. Who cares about the children? The children are irrelevant until they become adults.
They didn't build
and do something impressive.
Industry.
So they started really taking away from my architectural history tour just to try and, like, show their... prominence at recognizing which child is who. It was really disturbing. Okay. Then later it was confirmed they're from Butler. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So you weren't just prejudiced. You know.
I'm never not right.
Were they asking about, like, you know, why is this piece of furniture gold instead of silver? Anything like that?
No.
No?
No. I was asking about materials and design elements and how did they run electrical here? Oh, does everyone notice that? The rail that holds all the artwork is also the electrical conduit from the original wiring of the house. Isn't that neat?
That's like when we toured, or I toured Falling Water with your mother. Mm-hmm. We were there just for something to do there one weekend, and the group we were in, they were, I think the tour guide asked the group, like, you know, what do you think of the house towards the end of the tour? And there were some kids, and they were like, I don't like it. There's no TVs.
Yeah. It was kind of like that, but an adult person's body.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, through this, I'm hearing a lot of history about Henry Clay Frick and the steel industry, and then his family and what they were into. And you get to see their rooms and their quarters and all that, and their libraries of books and photos of what they did. And, you know, there were these entertaining rooms and all these stories about, oh, the president came and they had the Marine marching band just march around the property as security, but also just to do a parade the whole day while the president was here. Huh. And all kinds of like neat stories like that. But the son was never interested in taking over the business. He opened up some kind of nature conservancy, and he was all about going on safari and researching all this ecology and also crazy like big game hunting and things like that, and establishing these preservation societies. And
he was into pith helmets.
I found that kind of interesting, where the son was like, fuck you, Dad, I'm not taking over the steel business. Right?
I want to go kill a
in
zebra.
A way. But he also did his own thing and had this story. And the Kaufmans, the Frank Lloyd Wright house, were in a similar way. And I thought, oh, like all these interesting stories, the modern equivalent is like people who are interested in, you know,
the Kardashians.
The Kardashians and stuff. I can start to understand that.
Hmm.
That's where I was getting at. But
do you think Frick had a porno?
I'm sure there was all sorts of illicit things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what sort of illicit things did the ultra wealthy do in the 1800s? Laudanum?
Eyes wide shut stuff.
Yeah. Just big orgies, I guess. Eating too much cheese. but everyone's starving in the streets and covered in soot, and they're like, we're going to eat many cheeses.
Well, Andrew mentioned the Victorian era and what was the other one? The Gilded Age.
So, are they different?
Well, the Victorian era.
I guess my definition of the Gilded Age was just like, oh, people who fancied themselves on being highly educated, whether it's through traditional schooling or through their own research and things like that. And all these people prided themselves on not only extravagance and opulence in these, you know, ultra luxurious homes with ultra rare materials and feats of just detailed work and all that, but they also prided themselves on being extremely knowledgeable and having vast libraries and archives and like all sorts of things, whether they put their mind to chronicling artwork or chronicling different species of animals or whatever it might be.
I guess what it most directly describes is a sort of the results of wealth from the Industrial Revolution, primarily in the United States. So it's probably like 1875 to the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And the Victorian era is maybe like 1840 to 1900.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and the Victorian era is more like a repressive kind of time. And
I guess I'm just looking at it more so from an architectural and local Pittsburgh perspective, and maybe calling it the Victorian era in Pittsburgh is incorrect.
It's a reference to Queen Victoria in England.
Yeah, it's a reference to a type of house.
We didn't have that bitch
in Pittsburgh, in my mind. So that's where I'm getting disconnected.
Well, you made up your own Victorian era. Fuck you, Queen Victoria. Fuck you all royal families.
Isn't it better if I take the power of that word away from her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about houses now, bitch.
Yeah.
I bet that bitch got fucked in the butt in that house.
What?
Queen Victoria?
She never came here.
Why not? Oh, no. Didn't have a Concorde airplane to get over here quack enough?
She never came here because she was too busy getting fucked in the butt. And you can't.
That's good.
That was level one.
Is there an era for post-Civil War America? Because there's like that period between... Every period seems to be like around some sort of war or in between a war.
Every period seems bloody.
No, that's just level one.
Yeah. No, I get one that says that's just level five.
That's just level
five.
Thank you. Nicely done. The period before the American Civil War is called the Antebellum, and the period after the Civil War is called the Reconstruction. So the reconstruction
that makes sense.
Yeah, is mostly in the South, and it's about sending blacks to school to help them be more subservient to whites.
Mm.
Not so much learning math.
No. You get a lot of carpetbaggers and all that.
Hmm. Do we think that these industrialists should be looked up to?
Yes.
Why? Give me three really good reasons.
They're rich.
Well, I guess, I mean, they're all complicated figures. So, like, let's focus on John D. Rockefeller, right?
That's why I like it all. Yeah, okay. It's very complicated.
So,
he's got the best name, I think.
Rockefeller.
you could look at two different paths of men who started in fairly humble beginnings, like compared to what they became. So you take John D. Rockefeller, the old Rockefeller, and Carnegie, right? And Rockefeller built this incredible fortune with oil and steel, and then probably, you know, spread into like banking and all these other things. And you have to separate him from what happened after that with all his idiot kids who couldn't read and all these like do-gooder foundations they started to basically try and run all aspects of life for the average person in America. You know, so you have this incredible wealth generated by the first generation, and then the second generation is just born into that, and they think they're special people.
Right.
And they cause a lot of problems. Like education, they're dabbling in eugenics in the 1910s and the 1920s. But Carnegie kind of went, I mean, Carnegie was involved in school stuff too, but and made a lot of valuable contributions, but also was like, hey, Napoleon Hill, let me tell you my secrets, and you can tell them to everybody.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And he was also, I don't know if it was him necessarily or just the mass of his fortune naturally led itself to giving back. But a lot of these, at least in Pittsburgh, I mean, this whole city was built up around, you know, a fairly small amount of big industrialists basically giving back.
Carnegie money, yep.
Donating parks and libraries and buildings and art galleries and all sorts of things.
And it's a cultural enrichment.
It really is.
Yeah.
And then all the churches showed up and they're like, hey, rich guy, want to get into heaven?
Sure. Look at some of these churches. They're spectacular.
And you know that's where those came from.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. So I think they're men to be studied. I don't think, you know, they call the Gilded Age the age of the robber barons. The robber barons, you know? Now, it's a complex time. You know, you have this sort of rewriting of history by people like fucking what's his name? The Jungle, Upton Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, the working conditions are so terrible and there's fingers in your meat. You know?
Fingers are meat, asshole.
Yeah, suck it. Fucking dog dick. Upton Sinclair. Fucking jingoist.
But
be careful, the meat cutters are sharp. Everybody doesn't have protection from... shut this off. I don't know what I'm doing. We have to go over topics in the pre-show and then write lyrics for potential songs.
Yeah, that's, see, if we're going to write lyrics, what's the fun in that? Where I will shine.
Oh, yeah, write some lyrics, Dick. that's a good point, Brett. You're talking about like these ultra-wealthy get demonized in the rewritten history.
In the modern age, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But they did create so much wealth for the people that worked for them and then contributed a lot of them to parks and, you know, donating land and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know, like, if you compare that to, let's say, Soviet Russia, where there were no rich people, there was just the government making, you know, like, giant monuments to Lenin.
Oh, but there were rich people. In the end, like a couple dozen what are they called? Not plutocrats. Like a kleptocracy. Like a handful of people walked away with the wealth of the entire country because it had all been consolidated.
When did they do that?
The end of communism.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. So 1990?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, I mean, think about it. Like, we demonize, oh, the rich are so, the 1% has all the money, But the 1%, like, they did earn it, I think, for the most part. And then a lot of them do, thanks to social pressures, or maybe just conscious thoughts, they want to give it back, you know.
I think at a certain point...
And without them, we wouldn't have giant parks and
at a certain point, when you've gathered up everything that you possibly could, and you have all these different houses and estates and manors and employees...
And you've had your fill of going to the Philippines and hunting little boys with rifles, the ultimate prey.
Yeah.
Basically. Or going to Epstein Island and fucking all the children.
It comes down to...
You fucked so many children, your dick hurts.
My question is... It's pretty cool for me to like that stuff, right?
I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Okay. I want to go more. I want to do
I mean,
more.
As long as it's not the Kardashians, I think it's okay to be fascinated by the wealthy once they're dead. And the wealthy, like Paul Allen. He's a pretty fascinating character. He's the guy that co-founded Microsoft.
Mm.
He had a yacht that was like the fucking size of a battleship.
Okay.
And he actually, like... He rented that bitch out to scientific expeditions and stuff. I mean, that's pretty cool when you learn about it, but most people aren't aware of
that.
Things
doesn't
like
get
that.
Published.
Yeah, yeah, no. So, and then obviously there's, you know, Gates.
Yeah, do
and
we
his
think
wife
the,
had a lot of foundations. And
do we think the age of looking back on that is over? Like the Ronald McDonald Foundation is arguably one of the best charities, right? From what I understand.
Yeah.
But no one ever talks about that. Everyone just vilifies McDonald's.
Is that the foundation where they just shove nuggets in kids' faces?
Yeah.
The poor kids get just nugget scraps? Yeah, I'm sure that, I mean, everything goes in cycles, right? So right now we're in a cycle of everyone's a fucking retard and hates the rich because they're just envious and they don't want to have to work. So they're demanding free college. And I think that may come around once society collapses completely and then... The people that actually work hard get their shit back together and rebuild society. I don't know.
But after like a pretty sweet Mad Max period.
Yeah, that's what
I'm looking forward to. A movie that I've now seen twice.
Oh.
Oh my God, that's a fucking spectacular
the new
movie.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was fantastic.
Mad Max Fury Road.
That's like the only movie that I've seen in theaters in the past, I don't know how many years, that I was like super excited and immediately had to go out and see again.
There's no way I would not have been able to beat off to that movie in the theater. Wait, there's no way I would have been able to not beat off to
I
that
what you
movie.
Mean. Yeah.
Okay. I want to beat off to that movie.
That's what he's saying,
theater
folks.
Listeners. No, what an absolute fucking spectacle. And I did a show about it last night.
Isn't there supposed to be another one coming out?
Yep, maybe.
Oh, really?
They haven't started filming it yet.
They haven't started? Oh, shit.
It's called
He's
like,
going to die before they
Hardy?
Get into it. No.
Who?
The old man.
George Miller?
Yeah.
He's not that old.
He's pretty old.
He's in his 60s, probably.
Yeah, that's pretty old.
It's younger than my dad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You never know these days. I mean, Kevin Hart almost died because he was a passenger in some shitty muscle car and it flipped over.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you never know. I can't wait, though. Sounds fun. That's that movie has real action. Like movies like what was it, The Bourne Identity?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was some of the like where it started getting real fucking dumb with the action because it was like every 15th of a second they would cut to a new angle. It's like and you can't follow. It's like and then you know it just looks like shit because it's you can tell it's all just edited together.
It's like
but when it's a long cut of like cars actually blowing up.
Yeah, but I actually
I think you see that
I enjoyed those Bourne movies, I think, because I enjoyed those are like one of the few novels I read in the past 20 years.
That'll do it. If you're familiar with the property, I guess.
Yeah.
But Mad Max was edited by the director's wife, who had never edited an action movie before, and he said, that's why I want you to do it. So it looks
interesting.
Different.
Good choice.
And
I can't wait to hear this episode of whatever the fuck your show is called.
Picture of the Month Club.
Oh, yeah.
The cuts are really short, too, in Mad Max. I mean, the average length of a shot in the film is probably like 2 or 3 seconds.
Oh, well, I guess I'm wrong.
But you will learn in this episode why that is not disorienting like it is in the Bourne movies. Now, I remember when the Transformer movie came out.
Oh, boy.
And I went, oh, my God, this is going to be the sickest shit
ever.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like a live action Transformers movie. I grew up with the Transformers. I thought that would be spectacular. But when you go and you watch the movie, it's like you're sick because they're doing all this. I mean, this was what, 10 years ago?
Oh, probably 15.
Maybe. So the CGI is not as good. And the way that they're hiding the defects in the CGI or the shortcomings in the CGI is they're doing handheld camera.
Oh, I hate shaky
cam. So it's never, it's all shaky cam, and they're cutting like real fast, so you can't like get a sense of what's happening. But in Mad Max, you know, even if this shot is only 1.5 seconds, you know what's going on. And what the director did, what Andrew is making a little tower with his
a little V8.
Oh.
Isn't that what they did?
They did like Witness Me.
Witness Me, and then the four fingers on each side for eight cylinders. Yep. V8.
Yeah, that was, I mean, some of the...
it's all in the show.
Fucking brilliant. George Miller came up with like these little rich, like universe building sort of...
Yeah, they love
what
chrome.
What do you call that stuff? Yeah. Like spraying chrome paint in their face to get all high or whatever they do.
Sorry, we're interrupting.
That's a great movie. 2007 is when the first Transformers came out, so you were right, 10 years ago-ish.
Yeah. So you will learn why, even though Mad Max is super fast-paced, you always know exactly where to look. It is one of the most brilliantly composed films of all time.
That's what I said when it came out, and I just didn't have any expert to back me up.
I remember you loving it.
Yeah.
And I started watching it one day, maybe in like 2017, and I was like, not tonight. I can't get into this.
It's too much.
And I saw it twice in 24 hours. And I might watch it the next time I can have time to watch a movie, which I don't know when that will be.
We should go to Larry's house and watch it because he has a projector. I was watching Spaceballs on it a few nights ago.
How's the sound?
Great.
Okay. Oh, he's like a sound guy.
Yeah, he's an audio video guy.
Oh, what a good place to watch.
He gets like free audio video shit.
Yeah. Some shorten that to AV guy.
Yep.
100 inch, huh? It's big.
What's 100 inch?
His projector.
Did I say 100 inch?
He did last night or yesterday.
I was confused.
I didn't
know what you were talking about. Like 100.
I forgot. He was showing me a picture yesterday.
Big gulps, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I was also thinking about Mad Max. Well, that was fun.
Well,
I am fascinated by the idea of the ultra wealthy thanks to this show called Billions.
Oh, well, that too.
Because I don't know. I mean, obviously it's a television show, so it's a bit ridiculous, but I have to wonder, like, yeah, what would it be like if you could just call up your helicopter to fly around and such? I mean, that is part of the allure. People are, you know, they're just envious of the ultra wealthy, and they want to be rich and famous, but
and I think
we've
movies...
grown up to be rock stars and movie gods, and we're all just the same.
Well, I think movies have kind of ruined
something Fight Club.
Ruined that industrialist age for us. I think they portrayed it as these frou-frou, you know, wealthy, oh, I can't get dirty, I can't, you know, like, I don't think that was the case.
Well, it depends. I mean, obviously some probably were frou-frou.
Sure, but I think the majority of them were mostly just regular people who had a lot of money and power and put it to work and were just successful. And I don't think they were arrogant. I just think they were belligerent in order to achieve their goals.
Dogged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Determined.
Yes. I could see that.
So, as always, I got more stuff that I can bring up that I don't know how long we'll talk about it, but I don't want to monopolize things, as always.
All I have is so many things that are work-related and probably not very interesting.
Oh.
So, I went to Frick Park. How about that?
Me too. That's where I went to the mansion.
That's where all the way. I didn't do anything.
I almost got lost in the woods.
What?
It's a park surrounded by city.
No. I went for a walk with a companion, and we got there at about 7:15, and we went way down this trail, like way out into the park, and then it was dark, we were in the woods.
Okay. I have a question.
How big is Frick Park?
It's huge.
Why walk the trails when you could walk the sidewalks
because of
old Pittsburgh?
I don't know, because my companion isn't crazy about cities and likes nature.
Neither am I, though. I like nature.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to go to nature, I'm going to go to nature. I'll get into that
this
later.
This was spectacular. No, you, the woods there.
All right, take me there. So next time, bring me on your date.
Okay. I thought about it when we got out, and I was like,
what the fuck? You should have called me.
Oh, these guys are out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of woods in this park.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. And now I knew, now I could hear 376, which is the spur highway.
That, interstate.
Yeah, it's a spur.
Mm-hmm. It's a spur because we learned that from Andrew when he taught us about the interstate highway system.
I remembered. So you can hear kind of the hum of 376 like the entire time, and I was relieved by that. But that still doesn't mean, just because you can hear the hum of a distant highway doesn't mean you're not lost in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep walking, you'll eventually not be in the woods. But
true.
Yeah, but these city deer, they're something to be reckoned with. They're not afraid of anything.
No, they're funny.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few this past week. The deer are coming out here in Pennsylvania. Guys are hitting them at work. Guys that I work with are hitting them.
They're always out.
I feel like I've seen more
I don't like
in the last week.
When, no, the whole populace of Western Pennsylvania goes, oh, deers are coming out. Deers are rutting.
Deers are rutting.
All right,
rut is a real thing.
I see deer constantly. They're just there.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, but you're going to hit one. I don't slow down.
No, they just stand on the side of the road. You go by, they go, hi.
Yeah, we went by one this morning on the way to the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw like four and with some youngs, too, some young ones.
We almost ran over a couple fawns this weekend.
Fawn.
What? No, we didn't.
Andrew did. He was charging right at him. He said,
"I would never. I can't. If I when I hit a squirrel a few days ago,
monster.
I can't. No, hurting animals that aren't disgusting is real difficult for me.
Yeah, I ran over that gopher like last year. I wasn't happy about
still
that.
Still thinking about it today.
What's
I can see his beady eyes in my mind still.
What's the most?
As he was going across the road, and then I smashed the fuck out of him.
But they're super mean.
Yeah. What's
true? I guess they're not the word.
In the entire world, mm-hmm. like let's not just limit ourselves to the city here. What do you think is the most punchable animal?
Baby
kangaroo, because they want to punch back.
Ooh, they'll kick
and punch.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna go with chimpanzees. Or maybe rhesus monkeys. Any monkey. I fucking hate monkeys.
Yeah, but I'm terrified of monkeys. Like, I don't want to fuck with a monkey.
Well, Brett didn't say they could punch back. I mean, what if they're being held by their buddies?
Are they tied
like
up?
In a mob movie where you hit them in the gut?
No.
Okay.
They are unrestrained and can retaliate.
In that case, I'm going for the gun.
Nope. Only you have to punch.
No.
I want to punch an animal I don't like at all. I'll punch a groundhog.
That's not a bad choice. I would say this is going to sound a little cruel. It'd probably be a chicken for me.
A chicken?
Yeah.
You really have a problem with chickens.
No, it's not.
Like eating them or just being
around them.
There'd
be no satisfaction
them.
In punching a chicken.
I've kicked a chicken or two.
I like it. I want to uppercut it so it goes up in the air, right? So I would say like, hey, chicken, and I'd put it on like a table.
You're going to uppercut its body or its
right
head?
In the breast.
Okay.
You know? And I just imagine being like, and like, I lost my chicken voice when I did that.
I don't have a chicken voice I can give you.
All right. And then like feathers kind of go everywhere.
Yeah.
And it tries to fly, but it can't because it's too fucking stupid.
Disoriented.
Have you ever cut the head off of a chicken?
No. I'd settle for that.
I mean, that's not terribly fun. I never enjoyed it as a child when we had to do it, but...
I'd want to punch something that has some satisfaction in punching. Like, a chicken is so light.
Oh, yeah.
There's not much satisfaction. It's kind of like
birds
punching
really
a balloon.
Light,
yeah. You know? Like, you can punch a balloon as hard as you can. I feel like you're hurting yourself more than you're hurting the balloon.
No, this is a balloon filled with chicken, though.
True.
Oh, yeah. Walrus. Because you're not going to hurt your hand. They're real blubbery. You just like, it'd be like hitting a jello, I think. It'd
yeah.
be like hitting a sack of jello.
But I feel like if I punched a walrus in the side of the head, I'd be like punching an old, you know, 1920s man.
Plus you could hit the tusk. Those are hard. That could hurt.
I like punching the groundhog. They're fat and heavy enough.
I would go.
It's
with
gonna be sad. It's gonna have some satisfaction to it, and I have experience, personal experience with many groundhogs. They're real assholes. I won't hesitate to punch a groundhog.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad choice.
It's gonna be hard to like. How would you punch these animals that are so low to the ground? I mean, they're more of a kicking.
Well, Brett was going to put his chicken on a table.
I would shrink myself down to whatever the animal's height is using the technology from the movie Interspace. So we would be the same height.
What about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
No, no, no. This isn't good.
No, because have you seen Big Birds? Big Bird, he'll fuck you up.
Well, small animals are stronger than their size lets on. Like an ant can lift, what, 10 times its weight? Or a million times its weight? Whatever it is.
I've heard it's 16 impressive. Billion times.
You can't lift more than 1.5 times your weight.
No, in some... can I do... Is there any way I can lift twice my weight?
And like walk around easily with it?
No.
Yeah, right. You certainly not walk.
So anywhere, when you scale yourself down, you're going to be a pretty weak little groundhog punching machine. It's not going to... That groundhog's just going to...
But I'm still just as intelligent, which means I'd be craftier.
I don't think so, because...
I would fight a chicken at chicken height.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you'd be
fine. And if I was at chicken height, I'd probably be less than chicken weight. No, I'd fight a chicken at chicken weight, like in the same weight class.
I'd
It has no fucking arms!
But it does have a beak.
It doesn't even have a dick!
Like, have you seen a goose? A goose will fuck up a kid, and that's practically the same size.
No, they don't even have
teeth.
I mean, kids aren't good at punching.
Yeah, but a goose is mean. A chicken. Well, wait, why do I want to punch something that's not even mean and is basically chickens, retarded?
Roosters can be real fucking mean.
Now I'm rethinking this.
What other sort of avian animal do you hate?
I don't know. Maybe like an emu.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
I would just choke it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those things. They're hideous. And don't ever, listeners, here's a tip for you. Don't ever get tricked into thinking you should eat emu or ostrich jerky.
Ostrich is fine.
It's fucking gross.
You're right.
Why did I pay more money for the novelty of emu or ostrich jerky when I could just have beef jerky?
How
be
exotic.
Fine.
It's ostrich.
Fuck you.
It's emu.
It's high in protein, low in fat.
I don't care.
Right here.
It's high in yuck.
They make good boots.
Okay, well, that's fine. That can be boots.
Yeah, so I'm saying let's
take their meat and feed them to Africa or something. I don't know. Let's do something beneficial with it.
Well,
not burden the white man.
Since both ostrich and emu are from Africa, they are probably well aware of how delicious.
I thought they were from Butler because there'd be a sign on the side of the road that said emu, the other red meat, and there was an emu farm.
Yeah, emus are from Butler, Pennsylvania. That's where God put them.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, the fuck? I think in an effort to keep the show nice and neat and tidy and
we gotta
short
go.
And brief, let's go to a break.
Yeah, we're going to be having some PCL content. So we have a 3-hour window to work in here, everybody. And we're just going to do 2 quick halves and then some PCL. So if you're listening to the podcast and you don't support us, suck our dicks.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you until you support us.
The
then we might fuck them.
Or suck
and
our
that could be pretty nice.
Till we come.
Yeah.
Season 2, episode 14.
You might enjoy that, too. Mm-hmm. You never know. Only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Support us on the PCL and then suck our dicks.
Yeah. Here's a promo of what?
As I was trying to say, the discomfort zone. Season 2, episode 14, On Purpose, featuring Alexander Graham Cracker Bell.
Young Alex.
Young Gherkin Alex.
Go to Brooke.
What?
I said go
you
to
sound
Brooke.
Like a chicken.
Jared in the chat said, but I'm broke. And as I said go to break, I looked at the word broke and said go to broke.
Jared?
No, we've got to break, goddammit.
Okay. Sorry, you never get to find out what I was going to say.
I told my therapist the other day that I didn't love my life.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the first time that I've probably ever phrased it that way, thought about it that way, said it that way. It feels like, yeah, there's something there that's accurate. I enjoy my life. And if we're doing the gratitude thing, like realistically, things are pretty good. Like
mm-hmm.
human beings right now today in the United States of America, let alone other places in the world, have it way shittier than I do, certainly in the past. So like overall, it's like, look, I'm going to be fine. Like things are going to work out fine. But I feel like I want more than that. And I feel like that's a thing that I need to do something about. And so I think on that, I think there's a missing, I've called it like a sense of mission or a sense of purpose. Like the things that I do, like some things I enjoy, some things I don't enjoy. I don't expect to wake up every day jumping out of bed, the most excited I could ever be, just loving every moment of my life. I don't think that's realistic.
Oh, and if you were, I would not talk to you.
Yeah, I know, right? I'd be way too happy for any of you.
No, not for me. I love that. I wish we were we had bunk beds.
Yeah.
You were on top, and when you'd sprung down to the ground, I'd say, all right.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be a great day.
It's a great day for
look
one
at
of
Alex.
Us.
Here's a tip. Don't ever start paying people for things. Because all that happens is they get entitled. They don't appreciate you.
Okay.
And they want more.
What does this mean?
It just means that people aren't capable of seeing bigger pictures.
Who'd you pay?
Everybody. I'm paying everybody for everything.
Who didn't see the bigger picture?
Contractors. Service employees. Not employees, but people I pay to get services rendered. Yeah, it's a real bummer. I go, look, the better I do, the better you're going to do. And they're like, whatever, just give me some money.
Yeah.
And I go, but listen. And they go, no, just give me money. And I go, fuck you.
It's what you get for being the man.
Yeah.
Mr. Rockefeller.
Except he made money.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
I'm just giving it all away to other people.
You're a philanthropist. You're philanthropist. With those people.
All right. So I guess I'll get into the next thing. This is the second half, by the way.
I'm fucking eating.
I know.
I can't eat on the show.
Just finish it all right now. And then give me your thoughts.
Okay. It's like a mouthful though.
Dreams.
Ooh.
I don't know why, but I've been having pretty regular, fairly intense dreams. And when I dream, I never have the, like, oh, this is a dream kind of dreams. I always have the, this is 100% real kind of dreams.
Oh. Nice. Terrifying.
So, two nights in a row had very intense, when I say intense, I just mean ultra realistic, even though nothing I'm going to describe is very realistic. In my mind, this was totally real. First dream. Dreamt I was at a high school reunion, which I would never go to.
Of course not.
And I was with people that were so insignificant in the dream, I forgot even who they were. But I do recall a few very specific things that I thought Brett might be able to analyze or at least put some thought behind.
Oh, yeah.
Were you in your underwear?
No, no, no. Honestly, the high school reunion was just the very beginning, kind of set the stage and was probably the reason I was with these people that I was with. I don't even remember who. But
how did you know it was a high school reunion?
Because I was walking into my high school and having to say hi to people and looking at all these people who have not left a 5-mile radius of this high school since I was there last.
Okay. But it never, was there a sign that said like Andrew's high school reunion?
No, but it was nighttime and I'm walking into the high school and why would I be walking into the high school at nighttime? And there was a big gathering of people and a party, but I recall no details from that.
So your conscious mind is labeling this high school reunion.
As
an explanation for whatever it is.
Okay. So then I do what I always did in high school, which was find a couple of people and break off from the big group and go do my own thing. Not when I was in high school.
Oh. I thought everyone, when they're in high school, it's the 80s. If movies have taught me anything.
So I break off, and the next thing I know, I come across a very crystal clear, well-lit pond.
Nice.
And it's time to jump into the pond. I jump into the pond, and in the pond are giant turtles. Huge turtles, as big as me.
What do they sound like?
Nothing. It was underwater. Yep.
Okay.
So I'm swimming with these turtles, and at first I was a little frightened.
I like turtles.
Then, next thing I know, I'm one with the turtles, and I'm literally high-fiving them underwater. And like we're just high-flippering,
yeah,
and high-fiving and kind of dancing together, and that was great.
Underwater?
Yeah, I would go underwater.
It's hard to high-five underwater.
Yeah.
But turtles know how to get it done.
Yeah, it was like this weird man in nature dance.
If any animal is not going to get punched in the face, but is going to get a high five. It's a sea turtle?
Yeah.
They're sea turtles.
Oh, yeah. What kind of?
I don't know what kind of turtles they were.
But they're very big.
They're huge. The only turtles I've seen this large have been sea turtles.
And they know how to high five you.
Yes. They seem very aware and smart.
Yes, they do. But and there's a reason why, and I'll explain it soon.
You don't want to hear the rest of the turtles?
No, go on.
Oh, okay. They turn on me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Then they get angry.
Yeah, they do.
And they chase me out of the water. And they go, all right, fuck you, turtles. That's enough. Moving on. That's the end of the turtles.
Okay. Does the dream continue?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Then, at one point, I'm walking away from the pond, back through the woods, and the moonlight was very bright. And out from the trees and shrubs comes a scary-looking black panther. Like fucking Jungle Book Black Panther. And I go, oh.
What up, brother?
So this is real scary.
Different kind of Black Panther.
And I go, I don't know what to do about this. Like, getting back to Brett's point.
How do you have such fucking awesome dreams?
If you're going to punch an animal, I think Black Panther is so far down the list of animals you'd want to scrap with and punch.
Oh, yeah. Any large cat.
Yeah, large, like, little cats are scary enough.
Yeah.
If they go bad. But a big one, holy shit.
They do eat people.
Luckily, a giant rat comes scurrying out.
Now, you're sure it's a panther and not just like an over... Because the turtles were overgrown. So you're sure it's not just a house cat?
No, this was a black... This was a panther.
Okay.
It was very panthery.
Okay.
But a giant rat, disgusting giant rat, comes scurrying. It was kind of like a rat slash armadillo. Like, it didn't have enough hair to be a rat. It was real gross. But it comes scurrying out and distracts the panther. Panther chases after the rat. I go, whew, that was a close one. Moving on.
That was Tom and Jerry.
So then, we're behind some sort of outbuilding or a shed. I'm not even sure where we're going. But, coming around the corner of the shed, all of a sudden, wolf.
What the fuck? Okay. This is too much.
I know, right?
All right. We need to keep track. I need to open a way to keep track of this.
Turtles. Fun, then turned on me. Black Panther, very intimidating, distracted by a rat, then wolf. Brings us current.
What's the disposition of the wolf?
Angry. Is it growling?
Hungry like a?
Growling like a.
Okay.
Wolf growling, looking at the three of us. Again, I don't even know who the other people were, but I felt like I was, out of the three people, mentally and physically, I was the strongest. I was the one who had to be the protector, the defender.
Yeah, like fucking you and any group of three people.
Okay. So I felt like it was my job. Like, if we're all going down, it's my fault. Mm-hmm. If we're all getting out of this, it's because I had to stand up to this wolf.
You're going
to
punch that wolf.
So what do I do? Do I want to get into hand-to-hand combat with this wolf like Liam Neeson in The Gray?
Oh.
No.
No. I don't think that would fare well.
It didn't end well for him.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to end well for me.
And if you see one wolf, there's more than one wolf.
I didn't think of that. There was just the wolf. So then, leaning up against the shed was a big stick. Like, imagine like a shovel with the shovel part broken off.
Okay. So just a shovel handle.
Yes. So I go, well, I could use this as a weapon and keep my distance from this wolf. So I grab the shovel handle, and the wolf is getting angrier and angrier, and he's starting to come closer and closer slowly. And at any second, he's going to pounce. So I have to act. I have to attack this wolf before it attacks us. I got to attack it with this shovel handle. So I go to rain a blow down upon it, and I feel like I have strength. I feel like I'm a strongish man, and I'm ready to rain down this powerful blow on this wolf's head. Hopefully, I strike it in the dome.
Yeah.
Right before I hit it, I feel like the weakest man ever, and all I can do is just kind of tap it on the head because something in me goes, don't hurt the wolf. Don't hurt this wolf. And I try again with the stick, and I can't bring myself to actually put any force behind it. All I can do is sort of push the wolf with the stick. I can't actually hit it or cause any harm
to it. That sounds hilarious. You have video of this? That would be great. You're just pushing a wolf with a shovel. Like, with the spade of the shovel?
No, there's no spade. It's just a handle.
Oh, okay.
So, like,
how do you know it's a shovel?
It's like a shovel. It's just a stick.
Okay.
Could have been a rake weapon, handle.
It could have been a rake. Some type of
but
yard
you're calling
tool.
It a shovel, aren't you?
I said like a shovel.
Okay.
So I cannot bring physical harm to this wolf directly before it attacks us. But if it attacks us, like, it's too late. This thing is big and terrifying. So it seems like the tide has turned. Like, I'm not going to be able to defend us or protect us because something mentally in me is making me weak and preventing me from using any force on this creature. So then I start banging the stick against the side of the shed, and it's so loud right next to the wolf's ears, it scares the wolf, and the wolf runs off, and luckily I escape.
Okay.
That's the end of that dream.
Oh.
I have follow-up dreams.
Jesus, this is like, my goodness. All right. So, the setting, your descriptors here are interesting, like your perspective of what this is. You're walking into your high school in Butler, and you think it's a high school reunion. Can you remember anything about the two people you're with when you break off from the main group?
No, because I did wake up and I wrote down a couple of details, but I didn't write down any details about these people because I'm not even sure I recalled anything about them at the time of this event.
They're just supporting characters.
Most likely there were people that maybe I haven't interacted much, if at all, since high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think at least one of them was a female.
Okay.
But that's all right. It.
Now, the first plot point is you go swimming with turtles and you're high-fiving turtles.
Yeah, that was like super cool.
This is a promising start to the dream. What do you think a turtle represents?
Longevity?
There's that, but what comes with longevity?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Now you talk about
turtles
these,
were smart.
Yeah, they know how to high five, and they're big, which means they're old.
And they're dancing in unison.
Lots of time, and they they're synchronized swimming turtles. Okay, so they've had time to grow. They've learned high fives. They are smart. So the first is a symbol of wisdom. Then you encounter a panther.
But hang on, the turtles turned on me.
That is interesting. So symbol of wisdom. Just writing this down in Evernote, rejects Andrew. Andrew continues on to the panther. You're sure it's a black panther?
Extremely.
Now, what else? Is there anything else I need to know about the panther? Or
if anything, it...
How long does the interaction with the panda... there's no panda. The panther last, in your estimation?
Probably 90 seconds.
Okay. All right. What does a panda represent?
I don't know, but a panther might represent...
I'm sorry, I did that twice.
Something very sneaky.
Powerful yet sneaky. I think that's coming, but I don't think we're there yet.
Okay.
Okay. I think a panther is fierceness. I think it's fierceness in you.
But it's not me. It's something else.
What do you mean?
The panther wasn't me. I was me.
You're dreaming about the panther.
But I'm me in the dream. Yeah, it's not like I'm dreaming that I'm a panther.
No. It's not how it works.
I think it is how it works.
Dreams are not written that well.
Mm.
It's not like they have like a whole script supervision team working on this.
Mm.
So a panther, the first, but you're encountering all of these animals, and it's hard to understand what exactly it means. You're rejected by the symbol of wisdom. You continue on to a symbol of fierceness, and what is the outcome there?
Distraction.
Gets distracted and runs away.
Okay. So... you're tenacious, but not focused, right? In a quest for wisdom.
Distracted by the conniving little evil rat.
Now, what happens with the rat?
Gets chased by the panther.
Okay.
That's
it. This is a very good sign. This means the panther is you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, fuck those turtles telling me I'm not ready for their wisdom. Right? Because that's what they're doing. They're rejecting you from their club after making you think that you were going to belong to it.
Yeah, they're like, come in. It's fun. Dance
come in,
with us.
It's fun.
And then
dance
leave.
With us. High five. Right? Actually, fuck you.
We were like high-fiving and spinning underwater. It was cool.
But you continue. Even after this terrible embarrassment almost. And there's people there to see this. You get rejected by the turtles. Your tenacity continues to chase away a rat. Now, what is a rat? What is a rat doing?
Being gross.
And?
Too big to be a real rat.
How big was it?
Like the size of a medium-sized dog.
That is a big rat.
Yeah, like half the size of the panther.
Okay.
So I knew I was confident that the panther would be occupied with the rat for a while.
Right.
Because the size of the rat.
Okay.
This was like an 18-pound rat.
That's fine. A rat is usually a symbol of some kind of backstabbing or betrayal.
It was slimy, too.
That's gross.
Yeah. Like, why was a rat slimy?
Sewers?
It was just running around in the woods. Like, where did it find a sewer?
I don't know.
Maybe mud.
Why didn't it stay in the sewer?
Why does the woods
have a
sewer?
It wasn't a very slimy environment. It was dry, if anything. Except for me. I just come out of the pond with the turtles.
Mm.
So despite something, like feeling like you don't have wisdom, you continue on and you identify and eliminate a threat to you. And then you come across a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the wolf. The wolf is chasing you or wanting to chase you or threatening you.
We round the corner behind this outbuilding, and there's a wolf waiting in the clearing next to the building. Because the building doesn't have growth of the woods right up against it. It's cleared out for some 20 feet all around.
Mm-hmm.
And in this 20-foot space is where we're progressing around this building, around this path.
Mm-hmm.
And we round the corner, there's a wolf.
All right.
And while the wolf, I feel like, is a little less scary than the panther, I feel like it's only less scary because I think it's more adorable than the panther. Because it's like a dog.
Yeah, you like dogs more than cats.
I like dogs, yeah.
Mm. Right. Well, a wolf.
Cats are only cute when they're small enough they can't hurt you. Dogs are fine up to any size.
Now, if you are a wolf in the dream, that's good. That's like some Indian shit.
Right? Too bad.
That's like some fucking Lou Diamond Phillips,
Kevin Costner,
La Bamba, you know, fucking peyote shit.
Mm-hmm.
To dream you're a wolf. You guys ever heard of the movie La Bamba?
No.
Fucking amazing.
Give
movie.
Me the synopsis.
All right. Takes place in the 50s. It's about a teenager named Richie Valens. And he becomes like a teenage rock star. But he's poor, and he comes from a dysfunctional family. His brother, Bob, is an alcoholic. His brother, Bob, is played by Issei Morales.
Oh.
In the whole movie, he's like, hey, Richie, what the shit? And then he gets drunk. I can do what I want. I'm drunk. And he makes life hard for Richie and Richie's mother. Then Richie dies in a plane crash, and it's kind of like, huh, I don't know what happens next. So that's the end of the movie. La Bamba, 1987, rated PG-13 for strong language and sexual themes, starring Lou Diamond Phillips, S.I. Morales, and Joe Pantoliano, a young Joe. So, okay, so you're not a wolf in the dream, Richie Valens style. You are threatened by the wolf, which I interpret as a sign that you might be stricken with some kind of depression or depressing event in the future.
Oh, great.
And you are receiving signals subconsciously that this is impending.
Well, I'll just drink some more whiskey.
But you're not done yet, right? You're fierce. You've already fought off some kind of betrayal or backstabbing. Or
I didn't fight off anything.
You became the panther.
Oh.
To fight off the rat, which is underhanded, betraying.
See, I didn't know.
Sneaky.
Became not myself and became an animal instead.
A dirty rat. A dirty rat. You dirty rat. Whatever that represents.
Mm-hmm.
So you continue. Now, the wolf looks like, how old is the wolf?
Well seasoned.
Okay. Ooh. That's not a teen. No. All right.
Sorry.
I'm just looking for more detail. You pick up what you wanted to call a stick, but you initially called a shovel, didn't you?
I was trying to describe the stick a little better.
Mm. And you used the word shovel. So something about the experience in the dream. Wielding this instrument.
Well, it makes sense that it was a shovel or a rake because it was leaned up against a shed of some sort.
Okay.
A groundskeeping outbuilding.
What was the handle number, would you say? Was it? Because a rake handle doesn't have much girth.
It seemed long and thin.
Long and thin. How thin? Like thin like a rake?
Thin like an inch and a half diameter, possibly two.
Oh,
inches.
An inch and a half diameter is thicker than a rake.
Inch or inch and a half.
I'll decide. An inch is a rake.
Let's call it an inch. It seemed light, and it needed a lot of force behind it to make an effect, which I felt like I was prepared to do.
I'm not convinced it's not a shovel handle.
Okay.
Shovel would be dreaming.
It's been a neutered shovel.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, even more interesting. Because what a shovel I take to mean is that there's something in your past, Andrew, that you have to excavate. And I don't know if this is some kind of connection to you being at your high school reunion, but there's something unearthed in your being, in your psyche.
I think you're emphasizing the shovel too much.
Now, there's a problem, though.
There's a whole lot more going on besides the shovel.
The shovel has no spade. The shovel has no spade. So whatever this thing is, you are unable to unearth it, which might cause you some kind of depression in the
future. Like I'm unable
depression in the future.
Hence to hit the wolf.
The wolf chase. Or some kind of relationship gone wrong. Hence the rat. Or some kind of embarrassment. Hence the turtles.
Mm.
But through it all, even if you can't find the spade for this shovel and unearth the problem that leads to all of these other animal situations, you are still a panther. You're fierce. You're tenacious. And you will persevere. Here's the thing.
But he's unable.
When you are swimming in a dream,
it
is a sign of placidity, happiness.
Yeah, I felt drunk and jovial.
Yeah, yeah.
Swimming with turtles.
Being in water in a dream is usually a good sign. So.
Unless you're drowning?
Even, yes.
Or boiling?
Or yeah, two ways to
like
not have fun in water. Yeah. But there were no lobsters.
No, just turtles.
Right. So I think, draw what conclusions from that you will, but that's kind of like the essences of the first dream.
Well, whenever I have these discussions with you, it always tends to slightly frustrate me.
Oh, I'm trying to frustrate you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to create like a kind of a true, but also maybe somewhat ridiculous analysis.
But here's the interesting thing. The next dream, later that night, after waking up from the first dream, writing down a few details about the types of animals and what happened, and then going back to bed, I dreamt that I told you about this dream.
Fucking A.
Now, I'm in an apartment that you live in. It's no question it's your apartment, but it's not a place you've ever lived. It's just a very nondescript apartment, and I'm in your living room. You have a couch. You're laying on your couch, listening to me tell you about my dream. I am sitting by your television set, which is an old tube TV on a TV stand. And in between us is a coffee table. So I'm sitting on the rug in front of the TV.
Is it the set of The Matrix?
You're on the couch,
where
kind of.
Okay.
The Oracle's apartment?
No. Oh. I'm thinking where he takes Neo to like the old TV, and he says, this is the...
I don't.
You know, it's a white background, and they're sitting in front of an old TV. It's early in the movie. It's after he takes the whatever the pill is.
I never liked The Matrix very much, so I don't remember well enough. I recall the Oracle's house being kind of dirty.
Yeah, it was very nondescript.
There was a spoon. But anyway, there I am, sitting on your floor, telling you about this, and I'm pretty sure I'm staying at your house on that couch later that night. And I look... And for some reason, you have a poster plastered, pasted, taped, tacked onto the TV stand and the exact same poster on the wall behind the television.
That sounds sick.
That I know. It was really weird. The poster was the album artwork from Joe Strummer's X-Ray Style album, which I love that album, but I thought, well, that's kind of cool, but it's also extremely out of place and redundant because there's two of them. And I was upset about that and couldn't quite get over it, but didn't bring it up to you and discuss it with you.
Is that whole dream?
That was the whole dream. But I also acknowledge in the dream I was frustrated with your interpretation of the first dream.
What was my interpretation of the first dream in the dream, the second dream?
It was you trying to pull all kinds of meaning out of this ridiculous shit.
Like I did in real life.
Yes.
Did I talk about any of the same stuff?
Don't recall any details.
Oh, jeez.
Unfortunately, the details were just of my environment.
So you're fucking not even listening to me.
No, and these fucking dreams, but they're getting super real, which is weird. It's real weird. Like, they're the most real feeling dreams I've ever had. And I've had much more realistic dreams. Like, I've dreamt that, like, oh, so-and-so called out of work today. I guess I got to go in early and do extra work. Like, that's a more realistic dream, but didn't feel as real as these.
Dreaming within a dream or talking about a dream in a dream is kind of... it sounds very trite, but it would just be your subconscious trying to tell you something. Like, your subconscious has a message for you, is what I take away from that. I tried Googling it, and I couldn't really find it. Dreaming in a dream.
Yeah.
Dream in a dream. And then it gives you stuff for, like, Inception, like Showtime.
The only things that keep dreams away are drugs and alcohol.
So your dreams are when you're not drinking.
Yes.
Let me try talking about a dream in a dream. See what we get for that. And if that doesn't work, I'll try Brett Vanott in a dream.
Well, you can keep trying, but I have more I can talk about, but Puke, what do you got?
Is that all? Is that all the dreams?
That's all. There was a third dream, but honestly, at that point, I was so sick of taking notes about dreams, I forgot everything.
Were you taking these notes in the dream?
No.
That'd been amazing.
That would be. I'd be looking around for scraps of paper that I can't find anywhere in the real world.
Was I talking loudly?
You're always talking loudly.
So I was talking to you loudly about your dream.
Because
I found this, talking about a dream in a dream. To hear loud talking in one's dream means that it is important to try and free yourself from difficult feelings in real life. Talking nonsense in your dream, which you're saying I was basically doing since you can't recall anything that I was saying, is associated with frustration.
Well, hang on. I interpret any dream analysis as nonsense. So
even though I did dream analyses that changed your life.
Sure, yeah.
Hand job to the future was not like one of the most...
life-changing things? No, it wasn't, unfortunately.
Talking nonsense in your... Okay, so I'm talking nonsense in your dream is associated with frustration or means that one is not heard in waking life. The reaction of one talking also provides a better interpretation. Huh. What does it mean to have a dream in a dream? Can you communicate in dreams? I don't know. Well, Andrew, I don't know. I hope it's not more literal. Clear. I hope you don't get attacked by wolves.
Or panthers.
I hope I don't keep having dreams.
I hope all your shovels and rakes work.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I also have a, what do they call it? Not a pick. What's the spike called? I use it to break roots.
That's a pick.
It's a pick?
Yeah.
Or but it's not like a blade. It's a point.
Yeah, pigmatic.
Oh, yeah, the pig.
But it's also a pick.
Oh.
A pickaxe.
Yeah.
Pigmatic. A pig axe. Like, there's several different names for it, but...
I really like using that. I like breaking through a root with a pick.
Yeah.
And I go, this thing's been here for 100 fucking years. Fuck you. And I tear it up. Stop pushing on my foundation.
And that dream means what?
That's a real life. So,
dreams are fun.
Does anybody in the chat have thoughts about Andrew's dreams? I mean,
they've had several thoughts.
Oh, they have. What? Oh, yeah. Anything we want to share?
No.
Yeah. Let's go to.
Bridget points out Johannes. It's funny that Brett was the one lying on the couch doing Andrew's therapy in the dream.
Yeah.
That means Andrew thinks Brett is trying too hard to be cool. And then Brett Vanott says maybe.
Oh no, what's happening?
Let's see. So I want to read Johan's. Let's see. He says, you came in mid-analysis. That's what I tell my psychologist girlfriend. If I prematurate, he's just saying nonsense.
Pre-ejaculate, I think is what
But it says prematriculate.
No, it says prematiculate.
Yeah, but it looks like it's much closer to prematriculate, which is like you go to college early. Shovel has no spade. It could be either a club, a diamond, or a band. And he says, yes, if you snap a stem off a spade, you end up with a heart. That's why you were unable to hurt the wolf. That's deep.
Wait, what? Say that again? Yes, if you snap off the stem of a spade, you end up with a heart. That's why you're unable to... Yeah, well...
Well, you didn't end up with a heart. You ended up with a handle.
Yeah, a stick.
It's just a stick.
And yesterday I was telling a vegetarian how I have a real problem ever doing any harm to animals.
Oh, I'm sending her the audio of us talking about punching them.
Go ahead.
I assume the vegetarian was a woman. There's like no man.
Yes, that's true. Really, yeah, you're definitely right.
Yeah, that'd be stupid.
If you always made that bet, your winning percentile would be like 99.8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you went 15 minutes outside of any major city, your winning percentile would be 140%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, we do have about 15 minutes or less left, so if there are other topics...
I got another big one. I'm sorry,
No, it's fine. I mean, I don't know how to... like, I've been mired down in a lot of stuff lately, and I just don't know how to make it interesting for the folks.
Spidey Senses writes in from the email address letsscaretheshitoutofatandrew.com.
What?
Water in a Northland woman's ear turns out to be a brown recluse spider.
Okay, hold on.
He provided a link.
Real quick, correction to my dream. The album cover that was redundant in Brett's apartment was not X-ray style. It was, the album's called Rock Art and the X-ray Style. It's pink and ugly.
Oh, yeah, it is. Andrew's showing it to us right now.
That was in your apartment twice.
What does it mean to dream about the color pink? Pink is associated with love, joy, sweetness, happiness, kindness, and affection. So that makes sense that it would be in my apartment. Your dream. It's possible that you've recently found the love of your life or are healing from something with love if you see this color in your dream.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know about that.
Brian L. writes in, I was just listening to some PATG shows from late last year where Brett was trying to grow the show by coming up with all sorts of rules, drop count for instance, and was reminded of a story Brett told years ago about a kid he worked with who wanted to make a Lego movie, and then Brett got involved and had some ideas and ran with them and totally ruined the kid's creative impulse. Discuss.
Who said this?
Brian L.
That never even happened.
Okay. Short discussion.
I kind of bet that it did, because otherwise why would he be talking about it?
Say
you quashed a child's creativity by taking his ideas and running with them in your own direction. What does that mean? That means... No, I don't know.
If this happened, I don't remember it. There was a kid who wanted to be a magician on... He wanted to do magic. So I made him a YouTube channel and filmed him doing his jokes... Or his tricks.
Whoops.
And he loved it and thought it was the greatest thing. So
that seems like
who sent that in? Brian L.
Yes.
Relevant adjacent story.
Yeah. But he never tried to make a Lego movie. I don't remember anyone trying to make a Lego movie or ruining anyone's Lego movie.
Elaborate,
Brian L.
And then we will discuss when we have more time.
Yeah, find the episode.
Like next
find
week.
Us talking about it.
Yeah, we'll go back and listen.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Just give us the episode and the time code.
Yeah.
I would never ruin a child's Lego movie.
He might.
How?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Was the child Chris Miller or Phil Lord?
No, because the child...
Because they made a Lego movie and it was quite good. So, yeah, I guess it wasn't them. I recommend watching the latest Dave Chappelle comedy special on Netflix.
I have thoughts about this.
I fell asleep to it. Oh, Real quick, I have been canceling subscriptions left and right.
Nice.
I am sick of paying for subscriptions, including Netflix, canceled. And Puke goes, oh, you better watch the Dave Chappelle thing. You only have this many weeks left until you're whatever. So I go, what's on Netflix? Is there anything I really want to watch? No. I'll put on Dave Chappelle. Within 5 minutes, I was asleep, woke back up, watch more of it.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. You just fall asleep. You fall asleep to everything.
It's fine. It's fine.
I thought it was quite well done, mainly just because he doesn't pull any punches and he makes fun of like gays and retards and all that.
He pulled punches. He punched and then he pulls him back.
Oh.
That's what he did.
Okay. How so?
He punched, he shocked people, and then he reels it in by doing a... I wouldn't call it fruit bowling, but it's like a fruit-flavored bowl.
More like Jell-O.
Yogurt parfait?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Like something from McDonald's.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Everyone on the internet's like, Dave Chappelle, finally. Oh, the woke comedy scene finally gets their comeuppance from Dave Chappelle.
No, they don't.
Who just doesn't care.
Well... what about this show?
We're not on Netflix.
I know, right? But we're giving them the comeuppance. We're just not famous enough.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So I'm like, this isn't that interesting. This isn't.
We're coming up.
It's interesting.
Real slow.
He was able to get that shit on Netflix.
That is a feat.
Yeah, that was kind of shocked me. Is there somebody in Netflix who's turning the ship?
Maybe.
Doubtful.
Or maybe they're just throwing a bone to all the people who were mad at Netflix for, Amy Schumer, transgender this, or we're black that.
Right. How many people like me have canceled subscriptions and Netflix is seeing that? So are they turning the ship in a moderate direction, or are they just, like Brett said, throwing a bone?
That's a good point. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that they have metrics stating that, people watch the shit out of Dave Chappelle. So let's let him do whatever the fuck he wants.
Well, I'm sure they have metrics, too, about, a lot of our subscribers are watching a lot less of our shit than they used to.
Yeah, that could be it. Also,
yeah.
A combination of all of the above. One interesting thing I've noticed, though, is that the Rotten Tomatoes score is at 0% with only 5 reviews. And there's no audience score, which is very fascinating.
Well, it's not a movie.
No, but everything else gets reviewed.
Does it?
It's been out for 2 weeks or maybe a week now.
I don't know.
I wonder how long it takes for them to get reviews, but goes to show you how fucking fruit bowly the reviewers are. And Rotten Tomatoes is just useless now for any sort of metric to find out if a movie might be good or bad.
I've had no real desire to revisit it and finish it.
Oh, interesting. I thought it was quite hilarious, and I enjoyed it.
I liked his outfit because it was a throwback to Thurgood from the old movie, whatever it's called, Half-Baked.
Was it? It's just like a one-piece
jumpsuit. Outfit, yeah.
Is that what it was supposed to be, janitor?
Yeah.
Okay. Did not get that reference. So,
I thought it was fine. I just didn't think it was like the next level. Like when people are the greats, you want to see, and Dave Chappelle is obviously one of the greats.
Yeah.
When he comes back with all this fanfare, you want to see him go to like whatever the next level is, right? Like he breaks through the previous ceiling. And he does something amazing.
Right.
George Carlin used to do this. George Carlin was doing this into like his 60s. He'd come up with a new special with all this crazy new shit. And you'd be like, how did this guy get better?
I, at some point in my pot-smoking days, gathered up vinyl of every George Carlin album and listened to them chronologically while playing a lot of Xbox.
That's a cool thing to do.
No, it was the worst. I was the worst. That's also when I smoked cat shit. By accident.
In real life.
Not in a dream.
Not in a dream.
Nope.
Wasn't Black Panther cat shit?
I told the story before on the show.
I'm sure.
I've never heard it, but...
Brian L. wrote in.
I'd rather not know it. I'd rather just use my imagination in all kinds of different ways to picture different scenarios.
I was unknown to me that it was cat shit.
Yeah. Hence the accident.
I would hope that you weren't aware that it was cat shit.
Does it have something to do with a friend playing a prank?
No. A friend, yes. Prank, no. Because he did it too.
Were you both pranked by...
Like,
God.
Which one of you dug through a cat box to find your weed? That's what I want to know.
Neither of us.
All right. Well, what's next? That's all I've got. Daycation or I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
We'll get into that. It's not that big of a deal. Anyone who doesn't like just walk up to me every single day and go, Andrew, what are you doing today? Can I join you? If they're not doing that, you're not living life right.
Oh, that's most of us then.
Yeah. You've all missed out. Because
what if we have our own stuff to do?
It doesn't matter.
I know you picture that when people aren't with you, they're just walking in place. But like, I couldn't imagine freeing up any. I had to cancel a social event today.
Yeah, it sounds like you got some real problems, Brett.
Like what?
Like not having any flexibility.
You want me to be more flexible? What are some examples?
You have built a life that should allow you to be extremely flexible, yet you are the most inflexible, unfree person that I know.
I'm not the most unfree person that you know.
That I spend time with at this point in time, yeah.
That's not even true. I'm not unfree.
You seem pretty unfree.
Why? Like unfree time-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're constantly like, oh, I don't have time for anything.
I'm not constantly like that.
And the idea of doing anything is like, it's a big to-do, a big problem.
I did just travel for almost 2 weeks.
I know.
During which time I got nothing done, and now I'm back and trying to launch the biggest thing I've ever done. Wow.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Well, to say you're the most unfree person is like, well, what, is this the Shawshank Redemption?
Sorry, that was a bit, I was exaggerating.
Okay.
But every once in a while, it's nice to go, fuck it, here's what's happening. And there's a big question mark at the end of it. Like, here's what's happening? I don't know.
I did that the other night.
For the next, I don't know how many hours.
I did that Saturday night.
What'd you do?
I just said to the person I was hanging out with, let's just go and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for the rest of the planet, no one ever joins me in this endeavor. But on Saturday, I looked at the day and I went, well, I have all these things to do. And here's what can't be moved. The show was on Monday. There's a Labor Day party on Sunday.
Did you go to that party?
I did. There's nothing scheduled for Saturday, which is today. What should I do? Where should I go? Well, I kind of need to buy more cigarettes. I do that in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't just want to go back to Morgantown again. I've done that enough times. And sure, I can make a nice drive out of it, take a different route, listen to an audiobook, learn this, that, and the other. Instead, I just went, where else could I go? It's a beautiful day out. And also, I'm getting rid of my car. This could be one of the last random day-long road trips I take in my car.
Oh.
So I hopped in the car, and I decided to go to a place called Deep Creek.
In Horsedra?
No, in Maryland. So
what's the creek like?
It turns into a big lake.
Is it deep?
I think so. But it's Labor Day weekend.
Back when people named shit good.
Beautiful day on Saturday. I drive. I just do the thing in Waze where you click avoid freeways. And the Deep Creek drive, which should have been a little less than 2 hours from the house, turned into 3+ hours. And I took some detours along the way and pulled over at nice views and stopped and walked around and had no real destination, no real time constraints. So I drove and drove and drove. And made it to, first I made a quick pit stop in Horse Vagina and bought some cigarettes and went on to Deep Creek. Got to Deep Creek, saw a beautiful lake with beautiful homes, and this lake was so full of boats, it was crazy. Just Labor Day weekend,
what
last
was a lake
weekend
called?
Of the summer.
Big Lake?
No, I don't know what it's called. Deep Creek Lake, maybe? I don't know.
I like it when people name stuff when they're just like, well, the river's called the Monongahela because
Tree
that's the
Forest.
And they're just like, yeah, there's Deep Creek. Okay, moving on. Got that done. We're out of here.
It's like us naming the show.
Oh yeah.
So
tune in next week to the podcast. TM.
So I get there and I drive around and I go, well, I don't want to like get out and do anything. Like I could pop into a local bar and drink, but it's only like 3 p.m. I don't want to do that. And I'm far from home. But I have nowhere to be when I get back. So I'm not in a huge rush to get back. And I start driving my way back north, and I decide, you know what? There's a town along the Mason-Dixon line, which for anyone who doesn't know is the border between Pennsylvania and Maryland.
And it's the dividing line between north and south.
Yeah, that's where you enter the south.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that
I didn't know it was that far north.
No, it's south.
Didn't know it was that far north.
So
actually, no, I didn't know that's where. Well, I thought it was in Virginia or something.
No,
Maryland was a border state during the Civil War.
No shit. I don't know anything.
So I start making my way back north, and it's a beautiful drive, just rolling hills in the Appalachian Mountains, and very distant vistas and farms and small towns and old plantations and all kinds, everything.
We've all heard the John Denver song.
Yeah, yeah. So I cross back into Pennsylvania, and I go, you know what? There's a town not too far from here called Myersdale. Myersdale is a town I've only really ever heard about because my grandmother was born and raised there.
Oh.
And I thought, I should check out Myersdale. I go into Myersdale. It is the most depressed, old, like, Western Pennsylvania town ever. Its population has clearly dwindled from its heyday back, I don't know, 1920 or whatever it might have been. It was built up along the railways between Baltimore and the West. And that's why it existed. It's an old coal town, an old steel town, and an old rail town. The trains still run through there, but they don't stop.
They ain't stopping.
But as I was there walking around and just looking at these people in this depressed town that, like, have nothing going for them.
They just have a big pile of mattresses when you want to get off the train.
Yeah, and the biggest city nearby is Johnstown, which is also, like, the most depressed city. But Myersdale, like, you could see all these vestiges of this once great little borough, this town that had a few thousand people, and it was this thriving little community, and now it's nothing. It's also dubbed the sweetest town in America. I don't know why.
Some asshole is like, I'm going to name this town something.
But there I am walking up one of the main roads, and I see this drugstore called F.B. Thomas Drugstore and Thomas Medical Supply. And I go, oh, holy shit, I just remembered something. My grandmother's maiden name was Thomas, and her father, my great-grandfather, who I knew as a kid, he ran a drugstore in Myersdale, Pennsylvania.
And his name was
It's still here.
Was his name F.B.?
His name was Thomas. The last name was Thomas.
What's the FB stand?
Frank something. So I look it up, and sure enough, this is the same drugstore. And I start looking through all this history online, and I walk around, and I'm just looking at this town and looking at historic photos and kind of aligning these images with where I'm walking. And I read this story, and then all these memories come back. I heard stories about my great-grandfather kind of taking over the family pharmacy and soda fountain and ice cream parlor and all that back in, I don't know, the 30s and 40s or 50s, whatever it was. And eventually he had a dispute with his brother, who also inherited this company.
Mm-hmm.
So my great-grandfather went at the end of the block and opened his own drugstore.
Yeah, the brother was like, maybe we shouldn't give kids heroin for their coughs.
Yeah.
And your great-grandfather was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Andrew's great great uncle.
I've got tons of shares in laudanum.
So, yeah, like all those memories, that these stories that I heard as a kid came rushing back to me, memories of my great-grandfather. I looked up obituaries and all this stuff, and it was just a really cool, like, history trip, like local history. And it's like, holy shit, this family, like, ran this town. This was the biggest thing. This is the only staple in this town for over 120 years. Like, this pharmacy opened up in the 1800s. And it's still here today, run by the same family, I guess distantly my family. And I wanted to walk in and go, all right, where are my shares? But it was closed because it was the weekend. And there was nobody. Like, there was like...
Tumbleweed?
A disabled person yelling at a mentally disabled person.
Sure.
And a tumbleweed and a train. And that was it. And then some man yelling inaudibly something about horse vaginas as he flew by on the train.
Yeah.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I don't actually. I've never met him. You guys know that guy.
Yeah, we've seen him around.
But what a fun day. I got to, like, travel through time. I went to this place called Deep Creek. I traveled on roads through towns that I have no reason to go to. That's the thing. Every once in a while, it makes a ton of sense to go to a place that you have no reason to ever go. And that was my entire day Saturday. Then I came back and I just did a shitload of work late into the night and got a bunch of stuff done.
I worked until 1:30 in the morning last night.
That's what I did Saturday.
Yeah. I was beat. And I woke up this morning at like 9.
Ugh.
I had to sleep.
That's rough.
2 to 9, 7 hours. Got to get your sleep. Well, we better wrap this up so we have some time left over to do content for PCLers. We've got big decisions to make soon about the future.
All I'm saying, people, is
puke in the game.
One of the most beneficial things you could do in your life is going, hey, Andrew, what are you doing today? Can I join?
Yeah, Andrew, I would love to do that. That sounds like a neat day. And we haven't done anything like that.
You've never done anything like this.
Fuck that. Yes, I have.
When? Where? What did we do?
We used to just go places.
You never went anywhere like this.
We went to, the last time we tried to do this was when I decided I didn't like driving anymore because it hurt too much to
drive. Right, and you said I don't have any time and we couldn't do anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
But this was an entire day. This was leaving at 10 a.m. and not getting back until 6 or 7. And it was perfect. Couldn't have been more perfect. It was fantastic.
Well, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I would love to do that at some point in the future.
Bye. Is there lightning and thunder in a hurricane?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I ain't never been in one, so don't act like...
Oh, really? Well, it's a big weather.
Yeah, whenever they show it, it's always just windy.
Well, that's because it's so windy. Like, even if there was lightning, you wouldn't even be able to see that shit.
It's so windy, it blows away the lightning.
Yeah. Like, normally lightning comes from the sky and comes to the ground, but it's so windy, the lightning just starts coming down and then horizontal. Yeah.
I don't want your life. There's the intro.
Okay.
Just you saying, I don't want your life?
Yeah.
Let's get a couple takes.
I don't want your life.
You sound a little bit like a more authoritative out-of-town guy.
I don't want your life.
Deeper.
I don't want your life.
There you go.
Oh, there.
All right, hold that on. Sounded more impassioned. Let's hear Vanderbeck
say it.
Who's Vanderbeck?
Vanderbeck was the man who said the line.
Oh, the Any Given Friday.
Yeah.
Are you combining Any Given Sunday and Friday Night Lights?
Yeah. You know what? Everyone knows what I mean, though, right?
Any Given Sunday on a Friday.
I forget the name of the movie. Blue Friday.
I don't want your life.
Okay.
I don't want your life. I don't want your life. I don't want your life. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. He's looking at you.
Hey.
It's for horses.
I don't want your life.
Oh, shucks.
Ah, it's a spider. Oh, I don't want his life. He's dead.
Not no more, you didn't.
Oh, life of a spider. I don't know. This is just kind of a stupid accent.
Five.
Four.
Ooh, hang on. Five.
Six.
I'm glad we can just make numbers fun.
Yeah.
Five. Four. Three. Can we yell? Your neighbor's not here because there's an Amazon package out front.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, you can yell. I'll take requests for music. Pretty decent singer. I was walking with my feet in Bentleyville. I was walking in Memphis. Do you really feel the way I feel? I like to walk in Memphis.
I might have spit some almond dust on your computer.
It's on my mic. Man, you should not be eating food during the show.
I know, but I'm so hungry.
I'm hungry too.
Yeah, well, good. You know, I admire your self-control.
Oh, well, fuck yourself.
All right, bye.